Hi, I'm Eric Dama, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again in studio, and I'm excited to continue in our series that we're doing on this article that you wrote. And I'm just going to give the title of the article one more time. It's called Rescued, Transferred, Redeemed, and Forgiven. It's actually issue number 131.
Yes, and for the radio series, which is going to be several, we've already done two, this is the third.
Yeah.
We're entitling the series Freedom in Christ.
Amen, that's right. That's right. Now, you know, we left off last time. We were in this section where we were talking about being rescued.
Yes. And the last thing we talked about were the promises in Exodus 6.
Yes.
That where God said, I will, I will, I will.
Right.
And how those became the four cups.
Amen.
At the Jewish Passover.
Right.
And how Jesus had the third cup. A cup of redemption,
right,
with the disciples at the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And we also talked about how when we have communion, we're remembering the Lord's death till he comes.
Right.
That's the third cup.
Amen.
Cup of redemption. And we mentioned Jesus said, I will not drink this fruit of the vine with you again,
yeah,
until I do it anew in the Father's kingdom. That's the fourth cup.
That's right.
He didn't have it.
That's right.
And so when we have the communion,
yeah,
we're saying, Lord, come quickly. We want to have that fourth cup.
Amen.
And by the way, of the promises in Exodus that we talked about last time,
yeah,
that fourth one is the one where he gathers the people. I will be your God, you'll be my people. We're going to all be one,
right,
and be the people of God in the very presence of God.
Wow. Amen. You know, as you say that, it reminds me of another article that you had written about Mishta.
Yeah. You could go look at that article.
Yeah.
And it's about dining with the king.
That's right.
You'll find it if you go search.
That's right.
With his CICministry.org.
Yeah.
And it goes through meals where there's either salvation or judgment,
right?
Which the Lord's Supper was, because remember,
exactly,
that's when Judas ran out.
That's right. There's judgment.
Judgment came on Judas.
Right. Yeah. Amen. And you look at even Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians 11: those who don't partake it in a worthy manner are drinking judgment upon themselves. Amen.
Absolutely. So that article talks about it too.
Yeah. Well said. Now I know, Bob, what's interesting in this article is when you conclude here, talking about being rescued, you make a very interesting connection back to the Lord's Prayer, where he prayed, and he was modeling a prayer, by the way, on behalf of his disciples, showing
yes,
them how to pray. But he said, deliver us from the evil one. Why don't you comment on that? I think it's a very interesting cross-reference.
Yes, a lot of the English translations just say deliver us from evil.
Right.
But when you look at it in the Greek, there is a definite article.
That's right.
Okay. And it can be translated, deliver us from the evil one. Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible does that.
Yeah.
Okay. But deliver us from the evil one. The term deliver is our same term from Colossians 1:13.
Who am I, right?
Yeah. That God would deliver us.
Right. It's beautiful.
And so when God rescues us, we are literally being delivered from Satan.
Wow, beautiful.
Okay? And he does it through the gospel.
Amen.
Okay,
right.
People think they need a witch doctor, a shaman, you know, somebody that can manipulate the spirit world,
yeah,
as we've been discussing.
Right.
But no, we need Christ.
Right. So a true deliverance ministry isn't a ministry where we cast out demons. It's a ministry in which we proclaim the gospel, where people can trust upon Jesus Christ, have righteousness, have his atonement, and therefore, as you're pointing out, Bob, be rescued and ultimately delivered from the evil one.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so when I get all these emails that we've been talking about,
yeah,
lately, I was just doing this a couple of days ago, I use the email question about demons
right.
as an evangelistic opportunity.
Wow, great opportunity.
I've been doing this again and again.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I suppose it's because of the narrow gate.
Yeah.
I keep explaining the gospel and how God delivers us from the evil one
right.
through Christ and how we're removed from one domain to another.
Yeah.
And then you keep coming back. But what about the demons? What about the demons?
Oh, boy.
And they end up eventually going quiet and they're off looking for a deliverance counselor.
Right.
Because they don't want to believe the gospel.
Yes, right.
And one person even said, well, if it's demons, then I'm not responsible.
Oh, no.
I kept quoting Romans 3:23
yeah, right.
and universal human guilt.
Right, amen.
That if we failed God on one point, that we failed the law,
amen.
And we need a Savior. Well, eventually, some people just, well, no.
Wow.
They keep looking. They look for somebody else.
Yeah.
But I have had people who do respond.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And then they start growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Praise God.
And so why not evangelize?
Yes.
See, a lot of people think they're Christians.
Yeah.
And they think they have demons. But when the gospel is put before them,
yeah.
clearly, well, they're not so sure about that.
Right.
So they're not really Christians.
Yeah. It's false conversions. And much of
Or they've been in a church where everything's about spiritual experiences.
Yes.
And the gospel's not proclaimed.
Right. You know, I love that as you say that, Bob, because, you know, Colossians was really written for Christians so that they could have security. And Ephesians as well. In fact, you wrote an article about that, the armor of God. Here, Paul was desiring that Christians have security.
Amen.
From the Stoicheia.
We should rejoice.
Yeah, we should rejoice.
If we're really a Christian.
Right.
And God says to us.
Yes.
I've rescued you.
Yeah, amen. We better
I've delivered you from the evil one.
Wow.
I put you in Christ, far above all principalities and powers.
Yes.
And you're safe.
Yeah.
And you say, well, if that's true, then I can't explain why I have problems, so I'm going to go find a deliverance counselor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And you don't believe that God's going to finish his work.
Right.
And I try to explain interacting with demons. I say the demons are real.
Right.
Not everything somebody thinks is a demon is.
Yeah, right.
But the world's full of spiritual evil.
Sure, that's right.
Okay. And these things, these demonic spiritual beings,
yeah.
are more than glad to interact with people.
Right.
They love to do it.
Right. You know, Bob,
but it makes it worse.
That's a helpful caveat to say, look, we're not denying the supernatural worldview. In fact, we're affirming it, but what we're saying is the way to be rescued isn't interacting with the demonic realm. It's to believe the gospel and to be spared once and for all.
Yeah, believe the promises of God.
Amen.
And so, to a church that was concerned about this,
yeah.
Colossae, the Stoicheia,
right.
the hostile powers, and they were very much supernatural in their view.
That's right.
And they had experience with it.
Yeah.
So Paul writes to them that they've been rescued, transferred, redeemed, forgiven, and then the Christ Him.
Yes.
Which is beautiful, one of the most beautiful things in the whole Bible
yeah.
about Christ,
yeah.
Colossians 1. We've covered that in the radio.
Right.
And then some people say, well, I think I want somebody to cast out demons.
Yeah, it's not sufficient.
I'd rather interact with the demons.
Right.
Because maybe they'll go away.
Wow.
And so we are back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
As far as that person's concerned. But they're going to be harmed.
That's right.
You will not be helped.
That's right.
If you are a Christian.
Yep.
And you get someone to interact with demons, it's going to make your life worse.
You know, Bob, it reminds me, we'll come to this later. We've got probably many more segments to go here in our freedom in Christ. But one thing that you point out later in your paper is this idea of already not yet. And that's helpful to think about here because some listeners may be thinking, well, wait a minute. Okay, yes, I'm secure in Christ, but what about all these experiences? Well, our experiences, just as Christ is said to us that we are seated with him in the heavenly realm. God says that through Paul in Ephesians 1. Well, we haven't experienced that yet. We're not actually physically seated in the heavenly realm. But positionally, it's true. That day will come. And that's what you're pointing out later in your articles, to say, look, the experiences you have now in no way nullify the position that you have in Christ. But one day we will physically no longer experience these things in our resurrected and glorified state. We won't have problems with our car. We won't have problems with our job. We won't have problems with our health. Whatever it may be, we're going to have complete bliss reigning with Christ in glory.
But now we have to believe the promises.
Exactly. So, Bob, you end this section with Acts 26, which is very interesting, this idea of turning from darkness to light. And I know you presented that in one of your messages that you did in the book of Colossians.
Yes, and what's really unique about this is Paul is explaining what Jesus himself said to Paul.
Wow.
When Jesus confronted him and commissioned him. Mm. So here's what Jesus said to Paul, as Paul explained to King Agrippa.
Right.
This is Acts 26:18, quoting from the ESV. And so he was sent to the Gentiles, and here's what it says: to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Wow.
There it all is.
There it is. There's the two different realms.
It's really the same idea.
Yes.
Colossians 1:13 and 14.
Amen.
And it includes the idea of having a place among the sanctified. So when Paul talked to a pagan king.
Yes.
He told him how Jesus appeared to him.
Right.
And sent him. And the people go from darkness to light.
Right.
From the power of Satan to God.
Amen.
Okay. Paul didn't say, Jesus told me to make it possible that they can start the process of breaking curses and casting out demons over the next 10 or 15 years.
Great point.
He didn't say that.
Right.
Now, the way Jesus told Paul, and Paul explained what he heard from Christ to Agrippa, this happens at conversion.
Amen.
Okay, and so you're taken from Satan.
Right.
You're taken out of darkness.
Yeah.
And you're put in the church among the sanctified.
Right.
Okay, I was explaining this to a group of counselors at a phone ministry who had gotten into false teachings about inner healing and deliverance. And one of the board members saw my articles, asked me to come and present the truth to these counselors to try to change things.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to hear it.
Oh, sure. But
anyhow, so I was explaining this every way I could.
Yeah.
Well, this one guy kept saying, well, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Wow.
Now, here's what that meant to him. You had to get personal revelations about secrets in people's past.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody calls the phone counselors, hotline or whatever it was, and somebody's trying to get a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And they may say, I'm just making up a possible scenario, but this is what they were doing.
Right.
The Lord told me you used to play with a Ouija board.
Right.
Okay. And a person, oh, I did. Well, there you go. No wonder you're cursed.
Sure.
Okay. Did you ever renounce that?
Right.
Did you ever pray a prayer of curse breaking?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I never did that. Yeah. Well, then, once they get into that process, it becomes endless.
Right, right. Where does it stop?
How do you know something else didn't happen?
Exactly.
What if you forgot about something?
Yeah, what if you left something out?
And so the guy at the meeting was trying to refute what I was saying about this.
Wow.
Transfer from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to God.
Right.
By work out your own salvation, meaning you got to dig through your past.
Right.
But Paul didn't say that.
Right.
For it is God who's at work within
you. That's the very next part of the verse. Okay. I was going
to
say that.
The point wasn't to look back.
Exactly.
But to look forward.
Amen. You know, Bob, we, interestingly enough, that verse you had cited, we were in somewhat of an intramural debate with some people, you and I on one side and some others on another side, about sanctification, and that verse was leveled. And what's very interesting is I see this term in Acts 26:18, where he says that we'll have a place among those who are sanctified by faith.
Exactly.
What's interesting is sanctified is very much in keeping with this idea of being rescued or delivered. And the reason why is initial sanctification, what you and I have laid out, is that it's a work of God where he sets us apart in Christ. And so again, think of two different spheres. We have the sphere that belongs to Christ and the sphere that belongs to Satan. Well, through God's work in Christ, we are set apart, therefore we're holy, and we belong to the sphere of Christ. So sanctification, yes, it's a process, but what's interesting is the majority of the references in the New Testament to the term sanctified, sanctifies, sanctified, has to do with God's work in Christ, and it's initial, once and for all, but it sets in motion our life of continued
walking
holiness.
Walking with Christ.
Exactly.
Okay, so Jesus said, a place among those who are sanctified. That's Jesus.
Exactly.
You can't tell me Jesus was wrong.
Right.
Okay, now, the process part of it,
yeah,
walking out our Christian life,
right,
doesn't imply trying to get rid of demons one at a time.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean regression therapy.
Right, yeah.
Where you go back, some of them even go back into the mother's womb.
Oh, is that that,
oh,
that
yes.
far back? Oh, that's terrible.
Well, I've heard people talk about it, and when I did my research for some of these articles,
yeah,
some of the inner healing are saying if you were in your mother's womb and she did some occultic thing,
that's terrible,
then you're cursed.
You know, Bob, that's just delving into secret information that can't be known.
Well, yeah, they don't even know it.
Wow.
And so if you take anybody,
yeah,
say anything you can remember, so they're trying to remember all this stuff.
Right.
Then everything that you can't remember but did happen,
oh boy,
or so they claim, and then they're getting personal revelations.
Yeah,
they can either be confirmed or denied.
Right. What bondage?
And then they're putting them under curses from generations past.
Yeah.
Of four generations that go to dozens of people, and it's impossible to know.
Right.
So they're fishing around in the realm of the spirits.
Yeah.
Fishing for information, and the counselor becomes really like a shaman.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I was trying to explain to these people, you can't do this. You don't know these things.
Right.
Oh, no, that's how we work out our salvation.
Oh, no,
no, this is occultic.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe about the process of sanctification.
Right.
Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not saved by faith is sanctified by works.
Exactly. Well,
and we're not saved by grace and sanctified by gnosis.
Right.
Secret knowledge.
You know, Bob, I was thinking about this. There's really two different ways that we can have knowledge. One is through natural revelation, and the other is through God's divine revelation. Well, when somebody tries to go back to the womb, certainly no one can have natural revelation from the womb because
there's
you can't
no
remember it. Yeah. So the only way to get information from the womb would be to get secret information that was never revealed. Well, that's what God prohibits in the scriptures. You know, Deuteronomy 29:29, he says the things that the Lord has revealed belong to us and our children forever, but the things that he's not revealed belong to the Lord alone.
I know. Well, if someone wants to look through all these CIC articles,
yeah,
and then go back into our past radio shows over the years.
Right.
I've been trying to deal with this for 15 or 20 years.
Right, right.
They're long, the whole time since 92.
Yeah.
And that's how hard it is.
Wow.
To try to get these ideas out of people's minds.
Yeah.
And they seem to fear that if they believe Christ and believe that they've been converted.
Right.
And that they're in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness. And if the past is all settled,
yeah,
well, there's still things wrong with me. Now what am I going to do?
Right, right.
They don't believe that he who began the good work will complete it.
That's right.
And yeah. I tell people, trust God, believe the promises,
right,
avail yourself of the means of grace, get into Christian fellowship,
amen,
have your mind renewed by the word of God. Luther was right. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the word, right, which he inspired.
Right.
Okay. And God will care for you.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how dark it was, it doesn't say in Acts 26:18 that the ones with the worst past are taken from the power of Satan to God.
Right.
But people that grew up in Sunday school, they're okay. All they, they have another plan.
Right, right.
There's one plan.
That's right.
And we were all under the power of darkness.
Amen.
Not just what it looked like, how bad it may have been.
Right.
Yeah. It was darkness, darkness, darkness.
That's right.
Even if it looks pretty, it was ugly darkness.
Amen. You know, Bob, one thing I want to add before we finish this section on rescued was one of the things we have to keep in mind, I think, as New Testament readers, is the ultimate thing that we have to be rescued from is the wrath of God. And when we're rescued from the domain of Satan, what we're claiming is that, yes, Satan has real power. He has demons. He can do things to people. But the ultimate power Satan has is a derived one because he's the accuser. And what he ultimately does is accuses us before the Father, where the Father is going to be the one who judges us. And so it's helpful for the listener to think about the fact that once you have come to Christ, God is no longer your enemy. In fact, it says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we have peace with God now.
Yes. One of the things we're rescued from is God's wrath.
Amen. That's exactly it. That's exactly right.
Rescued from the wrath to come.
Amen. If we're rescued from that, what else should we fear?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And so we're going to continue, dear listeners, to help you every way we can.
Amen.
We know we have a strong foundation here.
Yes.
It says what it says.
It does.
God cannot lie. I wrote here, what is true in Acts 26:18 and Colossians 1:13 is true for all Christians.
Amen.
We must believe this and ignore anything to the contrary.
Right.
Okay?
This isn't
positive thinking. This is believing the promises of God.
Amen.
And we're not saying God promised health and wealth.
That's right.
We say God promised that you've been transferred out of Satan's domain.
Yes.
And into the kingdom of his Son.
Wow.
And the evil one is not going to get you.
Amen.
No one can take you from his hand.
Wow. Beautiful.
You've been given by the Father to the Son, and all that the Father has given him, he will keep.
Yes.
He will protect.
Amen.
And no one will snatch them away. Dear listener, if you're a Christian, that's you.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Right.
Because this is not just ink that was wasted in the Bible.
Right.
That's what God said.
Yeah.
And like I said, Paul is quoting Jesus. Jesus is God. God cannot lie.
Amen.
Okay? And when Paul was talking to Agrippa, the Roman Empire was full of wickedness.
Right.
And spiritual evil.
Right. It's not that it's worse today. It was always that bad.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And he could say that.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't we?
Right.
Now, the next thing, as we continue in Colossians 1:13, is transfer.
Yes.
Which we've already been talking about.
Right, right.
Really, Acts 26:18 is a segue to that.
That's right.
Transferred. All right? And this is in the aorist tense.
Yeah.
So this is an event.
Right.
Okay? And we were, all of us, under the power of Satan.
Yeah.
Because we came into this world lost sinners.
Right, right.
Alienated in our minds. Hostile, enemies of God, under God's wrath.
Right.
I'm just quoting things the Bible says.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And God took us through the gospel and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
That's right. That's
okay.
Beautiful.
And as we keep saying, Hebrews 4:16, he gave us access to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
So I've actually literally ask people,
wow,
are you going to go to the inner healer and the deliverance counselor, or are you going to go to the throne of grace?
Yes, yeah.
Who do you think is going to help you?
Right.
Jesus? Or some guy who thinks he's got this all figured out?
Right. Right. Well said.
Where are you going to go?
Yeah. You know, Bob, it's so beautiful, too, on any good movie where you see a rescue mission, there's always a rescuing from and a destination to where they're delivered to. And that's the way it is with God. We're not just delivered from something bad to just hang out in some, neutral place. But no, He's delivered us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And I'm excited to delve into that, because when we're transferred to the kingdom of the Son, we've got a lot to look forward to. These are the great promises.
Amen. Now, just to reinforce this, okay, this is the worldview issue a lot of people need to get right.
Right, that's okay? Right.
I'm going to make a statement and then defend it. We do not work our way out of the kingdom of darkness by defeating one demon at a time.
Right.
We are fully transferred from one kingdom to the other by the power and authority of God through the gospel.
All right. Amen.
So people see in the gospels, Jesus casts out a demon.
Yeah, right.
And something happens.
Yep.
Good. Somebody's healed.
Right.
All right. Well, the false teachers take that and say, this is what needs to happen.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Some people have a spirit of deafness. Some people have a spirit of confusion.
Right.
Some people have a spirit of fear. Some people have a spirit of, and you can name anything.
Right, that's right.
Any malady or anything in the whole world
that
you don't want, somebody can discern you have a spirit of that.
Sure.
And the proof that that is how we need to proceed, they find in the Gospels.
Right, right.
Right? Now, I've said for decades, the deliverances in the Gospels were signs, which they're called.
Yeah, of the Messianic Kingdom.
That the Messianic Kingdom was on the scene of history.
Amen, that's right.
And this Jesus was greater than all of these things.
That's right.
Okay? When the apostles do this, as they did in Acts.
Yeah.
Again, it's a sign that the apostles are very much the authoritative spokespersons of Christ. But if you look at the writings of the apostles,
right,
or even a statement like we quoted in Acts 26:18,
right,
they did not teach that the way you become a Christian or the way you become sanctified is getting rid of one demon at a time.
Right, right.
Over a course of months or years.
Great point, yeah.
That's not taught.
That's right, yeah. Where is that found, right?
Right. The spirit of divination that was cast out of this woman who was annoying Paul he did after a while because I don't want to hear this.
Right, right.
It's a distraction from the gospel.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And I've said dozens of times, demons being expelled is never presented as therapy for Christians.
Right.
The category is wrong.
Exactly.
It's a sign of the presence of Messiah and his apostles on the scene of history.
Right.
But if somebody, say, in Colossae has a problem, did Paul say, well, let's figure out what demon is causing it?
Yeah, exactly right.
That'd be the opposite of what he wrote.
Right. You know, it's interesting you say that, Bob. You even see hints of this confusion back in Mark 9, where during the ministry of Christ prior to the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, you often see the apostles will make mistakes. They're littered with mistakes. And one of the things they start believing is in their own power. They start trying to cast out demons. And Jesus reminds them in Mark chapter 9, that these demons, he says, will only come out by prayer. And that's the worldview we want people to see, is that God is the one who's on the throne, and he uses what we call the divine counsel, whether good angels or bad, whether angels or demons, he uses them for his purposes. And what we can very safely conclude is because the promises of God have told us that, yes, everything works out for the good for those who love him or called according to his purpose, as we see in Romans 8:28, If we go to the throne room of grace and prayer, God will use anything for our good. Yeah. So we can completely trust him. That's the Christian biblical worldview.
Yeah, so maybe we shouldn't have to do this, but let's remind our listeners.
Yeah.
Prayer in passages like that,
yeah,
is prayer to God.
Yes, yeah, very good point. Yeah.
Oh, I saw these things.
Right.
The deliverance sessions.
Yeah.
And their prayer was, you foul demon, I command you to go out in the name of Jesus.
Oh, boy.
That's what they understand prayer to be.
Right, right.
Well, how's that praying to God?
Right, great point.
You're directly addressing a demon.
Yes.
That's not prayer to God.
Right.
Now, as we conclude, we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
Just go to 2 Corinthians 12.
Yeah.
Where Paul had a problem with a messenger from Satan.
Yeah, what did he do?
And the word messenger, by the way, angelos,
yeah,
means angel.
Angel, right.
So here's an angel of Satan.
Right.
So did Paul rebuke it?
No, he prayed.
Did he say, get out of here, Satan?
Right.
No, he prayed to God. Amen. What was God's answer?
Yeah. Yeah, my grace is sufficient for you. I wasn't going to remove it.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, we have to
see, people can't conceive of that.
Right, right.
But that's the providential worldview.
That's right.
God won't allow Satan to do any more than what's going to be for our benefit.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. We see that in Job, don't we? Job 1. He only allows Satan to go so far with Job.
We quoted it in an earlier show.
Yeah.
Jesus told Peter, Satan has demanded permission.
Right.
To sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
But I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail.
Right.
Dear listeners, go to the throne of grace. God will not allow Satan to do any more, but what, as we come to God with it, is going to do us good.
Right.
It's never going to hurt us.
Amen.
It's only going to do us good.
That's right.
God loves us. He cares for us. All things is literal. It's too many times in the New Testament to take it anything but literal.
That's right.
And they do work out for our good in regard to being conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
So we can go with confidence
right
to the throne of grace and trust God. And don't directly interact with spirits. It will make things worse.
Right, amen.
The spirits are liars, deceivers, and all they want to do is harm us, and they love the attention.
Sure, right.
So don't go there.
Yeah, well, great summary, Bob. Thank you. We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a real pleasure discussing these things. I look forward to getting into the next segment.
Amen.
We want to remind all of you out there to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.